Before we start, where's Bob McGill? Where's Ed Boots? The taller one. If I start choking up, you guys understand. Come up here and comfort me. Today is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone out and picked out a new puppy or a kitten? How many have done that? Do you remember what it's like when, you know, you're there and you see all the little people? Pups from the litter, they were there, and little babies are crawling around, and even if you're not a cat or a dog lover, you know, when they're puppies or kittens, you still think they're cute. And you can't help but like them. And sometimes those little pups or the cat, you know, they seem to pick you more than you picking them. You know, little something small, some little thing singles you out, and you fall in love with them almost immediately. And I remember bringing our dog Theo home just a few years ago. Our dog Bo had passed away, and I was longing to love another dog. And we got Theo, and Theo is a cuddler and a snuggler. And as a puppy, the whole way home in the car, that's what he did, was he cuddled and snuggled. And, you know, when you bring a pup home, you begin to train it and housebreak it and teach it how to obey and fit into this new place of belonging. And as they mature, they develop a sense of what their role in the house is. It may simply bring you companionship or to protect you and your property. Maybe it's a hunting dog that you have that way. And as a mature pet, they have this special place in your home. Now place yourself in the position of the puppy. You were selected. You were chosen and invited to be part of a household. You develop a bond and a love for those with whom you now live. And you realize that you also have been transformed. And the trajectory of your life and of that pet has been changed and filled with something of love, rather than maybe just being a dog that's tied out in a barn someplace. You know, that's a lot of what ministry is like. You know, Chris and I, you know, we know we learn to belong, believe, and become. And as a portion of the tradition in the Methodist Church, we're kind of like a puppy that's been selected. We're chosen and we're sent to a church, and that's how I came to be here. You know, I received a call and was told that, you know, we have a church, you're going to be with Concord. Now I knew a lot about this church, Concord, before we got here, because one of my best friends was the previous pastor. And we'd worshiped here with you once before that. And you were like a home welcoming us in, and we grew to love each other and contribute to each other. And as a church, not long after I came to Concord, I think Kurt's the only staff member still that was part of the discussions. We started talking about what our vision for Concord would be, and I was wrestling with the issue of what is discipleship really all about. And we decided on, as you can see on the banners, belong, believe, become, seeking to be like Jesus. And I think that last tagline is probably the most important part of that we're seeking to be like Jesus by belonging, believing, and becoming. And it's our desire that more and more, everybody that's part of our church would belong, believe, and become. You know, there's a world full of people out there. They're kind of like a puppy needing a home. They need a place to belong. And so many people are searching in the wrong places. You know, if you watch the news, it doesn't take much or take long for you to realize that most of the events you're watching are caused by people searching for a place where they can belong. You know, it might be in the cultural wars that we hear of with sexuality. It might be in economic and business gains and choices. It could be in the realm of sports. You know, even immigration, all those issues are rooted in a sense of a desire of a place to belong, believe, and become. Those are all symptoms of people that are searching for a place to find identity and a place that they fit in. And most of those people, they're wondering if what we proclaim about Jesus, is that real? Like Philip, when he talked to Nathanael, and Nathanael said, and this is in John chapter 1, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip's response was, an invitation to belong. Come and see. We need to invite all those people we see around us that are searching for a place to come and see. We need to be actively seeking and inviting people to find the person that we found. We just listened to the choir sing about that. Holy is he. When you choose a puppy, you don't just wait hoping for some stray to come along. You actively invite the dog to come and be a part of who you are. When you see someone you don't know, do you receive them with great hospitality? I look out over all of you, and you know, and is there anybody here that knows absolutely everybody here? You know, you're going to encounter all kinds of people this morning that you don't really know. And so when you introduce yourself, make sure they experience the love of Jesus Christ. You know, maybe somebody's sitting in your seat. How do you respond to them? To respond with love and just welcome it. So glad that they're here more than anything else. Now, it's more than just feeling like, oh, they welcomed me well, but how do you help them feel like they belong? Can you invite them to be a part of something more? You know, when they encounter you, the first ones, you know, and they start thinking like, I like this place. And that goes for all the churches represented here. When people come to and they say, I like this church, one of the things resonating in their mind is, how can I fit in? I feel welcome. I feel loved, but how can I fit? They might say, how can I help? But what they really mean is, how can I fit in? Where can I sense like I belong? So you need to invite them, not just to say, oh, good to have you here. You need to invite them to something. Maybe it's your Sunday school class, or even an activity that your class might be doing, like maybe going canoeing or kayaking or a picnic or going on some event. You invite them to come and participate with you into that. And then they start to belong, and they start to know that they're a part, if they fit in. Here at Concord, we know we have the Wednesday Night Live classes in the spring and the fall. Maybe it's an invitation to, instead of coming on Sunday morning, just come join us for this study for that night. This past week, we had Maker's Day camp. Maybe you invite them to come and be a part of that. For those of you who don't know what Maker's Day camp is, that was something that was designed a couple years ago by Vicki Caldwell, where kids can come and they can learn different things like carpentry, electrician, masonry, baking, sewing, all kinds of different things. They come for 3 or 4 days just to have a class and be taught a little bit about that. I'll put a plug in for something this fall. I'm going to look at Bill Winters down here too from Waynesburg. This fall, I'm sure there's another day when the Riverside football food booth will need people to work it. You know, pass that to Bill so you can go home. Bill was instrumental in a lot of sports. And you know, when I was at Waynesburg, one of the things I learned was our kids were in sports, and you know, the boosters worked the food booth. How many of you worked the food booth for some boosters? How many of you wish there were more people that would help work the food booth, would you? And I happened to be on a school board down in Waynesburg at the time, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, it only takes about 10 people max. Wouldn't that be a great thing for a church to come and say, let us run it for you for the night. You go watch your kids. And we've been able to do that now, I think, 3 years, 4 years here for Riverside on senior night. So the parents just go enjoy watching their kids. And last year they told us, they said they were struggling to get people, and they thought, well, Concord comes and helps us. Maybe some other churches would come and help us too. And so they reached out to a couple other churches. Think about how you help them feel like they care and that they belong and that you can participate. It doesn't have to be teaching a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. There's all kinds of ways in which you can invite people to participate and be part of. It's in those activities when they come and they're a part of that, that then they start to learn as you teach them and speak to them about who Jesus is, that they start to believe. Yeah, they belong, but are they growing in who and what they are? Do they believe? You know, you invite them to your Sunday school class, and then you start teaching and building into their life. Deeper in their faith, deeper into the ministry, and they're enjoying being a part of what you're doing. And at the same time, they're growing and learning more about what it is to be like Jesus. Problem is, you know, we get into like something like a Sunday school class or some other group, and then we just get comfortable. And we just stay there. We never move out beyond that. But down inside, maybe you're wondering, is there something else? Is there more to it than just this? Just showing up in church on Sunday morning and then maybe going to a Sunday school class, and then I go home and I go back to work and do everything else. Is there something else? And maybe it's because we're afraid to step out and do something, or maybe we're just comfortable being there. And we get stagnant simply by belonging and never becoming. We know what we believe, but it never moves us past that point. There was one place where I worked where there was a dog that he was totally scared of people. And because of being afraid of people, it was never able to fully experience the love that was wanting to be offered to him and his role within that household. Don't get so comfortable that you stop growing and moving toward what God would want you to do, to become. And again, what you become, it doesn't have to be coming into pastoral ministry. It doesn't have to be a Sunday school teacher. It may just be simply some new concept or ministry, like I'm going to go work food booths. But when I'm working these food booths, I'm going to tell people that, you know, I'm here because Jesus called me to be here. Prayerfully seek what God may have for you. What will you become? Share that question with some people in the group that you now belong to and say, you know, I'm wrestling is there something more than this? Seek out what ministry opportunities that God might be revealing to you. It could be a service ministry, it could be helping at a food bank, or it could be going on some mission trips, or even developing a prayer ministry. All kinds of different ways. I'm looking out here now, Jeff Cree. We started a thing called the Prayer Couriers. I invited the whole church to come and be a part of this. Jeff was the only one that showed up. This is down in Waynesburg. All we did was we walked around a couple blocks and stopped at house to house, and we'd say, you know, we're going back to the church here in a little bit, and we're going to pray. We didn't know, do you have any prayer concerns you want us to pray for? I figured it was like one night a month, and we were good. We got back to church, we prayed, and Jeff looked at me and said, where are we going next week? I said, well, I figured this would only tie up one person's night a month. And he said, oh, no, we can do another route next week. And we ended up with four routes. So every night, 4 weeks, you know, we did it during the spring to fall until it got too dark where we didn't want to scare people coming up on our house when it was dark, you know, at night. So we had cars that would pull off the road, honk their horn and pull off the road and say, hey, guys. And we'd look in the car and we'd say, we can't talk to you. You're next week. And you know, we built a relationship. It was a ministry. I think you've kept it going, haven't you, Jeff?
It went 9 years.
There was one night, I'm getting off track here, one time, you know, Jeff and I are going down, and this guy starts, we kept track of where we were by staying on certain streets, you know, or certain sides of the street, but the other side of the street we weren't covering. There was a guy standing out there, and he starts yelling at me, he says, hey, buddy, come here. And Jeff was talking in one house, and I went over, and he said, I see you're getting turned down up and down the street. He said, what are you selling? Go ahead, I'll listen. And I said, we're not selling anything. We're just asking, is there anything you want us to pray for? Yeah. I said, no, go ahead. He said, I'll listen to your spiel. Go ahead, tell me, you know. And Jeff comes up about that time, and he said, no, seriously, guys, what are you really doing? We said, we're just asking if you have something you want us to pray for. And he looked at us, and he said, you know, I'm Catholic. If I came to your church, what would you do? And we said, we'd welcome you. You'd be happy to be there. We have some other people that are married to Catholics, and they come with each other. It's no problem. And then he looked at us, and he said, my mother died 3 weeks ago. You're the first pastors that have come to visit me. Every week we went to the house, every time. Next time we went back, actually, he wasn't there. His wife was. She said, he told me you'd be coming. I got this list of prayer concerns. It doesn't take being a pastor in a pulpit. You just need to ask if there's something more. When you discover that calling, you're going to suddenly say, where has this been all my life? When I was appointed to Concord, you made me feel very much loved and belonged. I still remember Nancy Herman standing out there with the camera, as she is right now, videoing everybody that came in the church, shaking my hand to greet me, and then gave me a list of who they were in order of how they would appear on the camera. You know, you gave me a place to belong. I've told you some of this story because that's how people move into who and what they are, the ministry they have. Everybody's looking for a place to belong. When I was in high school, started high school, freshman, our school district at the time, I don't know what it has now, but at the time, our school district had 7 elementary schools. It was just Franklin, Pennsylvania, but there were 7 elementary schools. The 6th, 7th, 8th graders all went to the high school, to middle school, except my elementary school. Because our elementary school was a long way from the school. I think it was 16 miles from the elementary school, just driving straight to the high school. And then when you calculate in all the bus routes. So we didn't get there till either 9th or 10th grade. So I'm in 9th grade. I'm suddenly riding a different bus than I've ever ridden all through elementary school. And most of my friends had gotten involved in sports. I hadn't. So they already built friendships and knew everybody at the school before I ever got there. So I didn't feel like I had a place where I really belonged. And I'm riding on this bus with different people than I've ridden before. This was 1972. How many have gone to see the movie The Jesus Revolution? Right in the midst of that all happening. 1972. And there was this senior on the bus that the Jesus Revolution had hit him really, really, really hard and crazy. And he came and invited me to join him at Bible Club. Suddenly I had a place I belonged. And together, you know, the Bible Club, we got together there at school, and then we started our own Wednesday night study fellowship group, and then we ended up having a Sunday evening, our own Sunday evening services that we were doing just with some of us. And then he taught me how to play guitar along with his dad, and his family adopted me in as like I was as an adopted son. I probably drove them nuts because I had free time. I was at their house. I was at their house. And so from that time of having a place to belong, growing in belief, then I started finding myself out of college, doing the kind of work that I studied, and I was wondering, isn't there something more? And Ann and a friend of ours, we were all riding in the car together, and they were having the discussion, and they started, we were discussing some of that, and it was one of those rare moments where I wasn't talking a lot. And they were discussing whether they could see me in ministry, and so it was like, yeah, that's where I'm supposed to be. So I went to seminary, and as I got to seminary, it was like, where has this been all my life? This is where I'm supposed to be. And it's because of that I ended up in ministry, and it's because of that I ended up here. And through all the others of you out there, I've served 6 charges, 8 churches. 5 of those are all represented here today by somebody. The one that isn't, they all live in Kentucky, so that's why. But you know, it's through that growing process, you know. It's even a point where I considered leaving ministry because of just frustration and hardship, but you know, God reaffirmed the call, and I eventually was appointed here, went through all the different churches that are here appointed. And my biggest desire in all of it for all of you is that you never forget to invite others to come and know who Jesus is. Be a Philip to a Nathaniel. Come and see. Why don't you come and be a part of us? Why don't you come and join us? And even if you think they're scared of church, invite them to something else your church is doing. And when they get there, don't be upset if they're in your seat. Welcome them and love them and pour out into them who Jesus is so that they can see that. I don't want you to ever stop declaring who he is and inviting others to come. That crazy guy that was on the bus, that's Jerry. And what's that, 51 years ago that you would have invited me to? 1972. And so I've asked Jerry coming and his wife, and there's a song, because he taught me how to play guitar, and there's a song that was probably just coming out in 1972 by the group Love Songs. So Jerry, and you guys come.
As John said, back, that was a long time ago. I'd start at the back of the bus. I'd just gotten saved. I didn't know anything. I just knew that Jesus loved me with a love that was more powerful than anything that I'd ever had in my life. I went from being a loser to somebody who belonged to someone, and it was Jesus Christ. I'd start at the back of the bus, and as kids get off, hey, I was a senior. You get to do what you want, right? Nobody above you. So start the back of the bus and just sharing Jesus with everybody. Seat would open up. I'd slide in. And we had quite a youth group. Somebody said there were 75 kids in the youth group at one time in a church that had about 60 people going to it on Sunday morning. Thursday night, we had 75 kids coming and just loving on Jesus. We found out how powerful it can be if you just say yes. You just say yes. And I look out, and this is a special time as we celebrate John and Ann and their ministry. When I look at that, and I think the roots of all of that may, and roots of all of this may have started in the bus that day. Just because Jesus loves us. It's a powerful thing. And when we get a hold of that, it's amazing. This is my beautiful wife, Charlotte, who's with me. She's affectionately known as Scrumptious. On Facebook, I talk about Scrumptious a lot.
Which is why I'm not on Facebook.
I can say all kinds of stories about her on Facebook. She doesn't even know it. People come up and say, oh, your husband put a song on about you. I didn't hear it. So, anyhow, we've traveled a lot, traveled quite a bit around the world, sharing and singing music and doing things. And I have a box of CDs that we used to help fund a trip. In fact, two trips to Sweden and Norway that we took back in the early 2000. These are extras, and there's some there. I've got a few in the car. Yeah, I'm going to put them up on the front. If anybody wants one, please come and just take it. We don't want anything. We've already got the money. But we've been on two trips, and these are just extras. So feel free to come and take them. This is a song called Two Hands.
There's anything I want you to do. It's like that chorus says. Reach out and bring someone with you as you reach out to Jesus Christ.